Now, when you walk into the ring with the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, good evening out there, everyone. You are here in the year of our Lord, July the 27th, 2019. You are with Blood River Radio. Blood River Radio, thank y'all people for being here. We're going to say a quick prayer, you know the drill, and then we're going to go straight to our distinguished guest who's calling all the way in from London, England. People, if you will, bow your heads, and we're going to get ready for a short prayer. Dear God, thank you for protecting our guest who was able to call in tonight and who's blessed us with, he's going to bless us with his testimony. He's a great intellect calling all the way from London, England. If you will, Lord, bless Liberty News Radio and Sam and all of his family and Blood River Radio and the political cesspool. Please protect all of us, Lord. Continue to bless us because Lord knows we're fighting against Satan himself. And also, Lord, if you will, please look out for our political prisoners that are in prison right now in Virginia because of the Battle of Charlottesville. They have, from our understanding, that they've got appeals coming up this week, and we're hoping and praying that they go well because everybody knows they have been railroaded in. Well, people, our great guests we've got coming on tonight, I'm sure all you people will know that have listened to Liberty News Radio, yay, all these years. We saw him up at Montgomery Bell, Tennessee, about 3 weeks ago. His name is Dr. Tom Sunic, and he is a one-time resident of Croatia. I believe he has American citizenship. He's in London, England today, giving a speech up there, and he's going to come on and bless us. I don't know how long he's got. How long can you be with us tonight, Tom? And by the way, welcome to Blood River.
Well, thank you very much, Eddie, and please let me first extend my best greetings to all of your listeners. And I would like to extend my special greetings to Rick Tyler and to Jacob Tyler and his family. They've been very nice and decent folks. In fact, really exemplary folks for all of us. And I wish all the best to Rick. And I hope he's going to be our next congressman soon and shortly. And anyway, I'm very pleased and honored and overjoyed to be on your show. In fact, I don't want to pester your audience to start with, but I can possibly give you a short summary of what's going on in London and why I am in London, and then I certainly rest at your disposal for further questions. And I don't mind spending 15, 20 minutes on the phone. I'm calling now from my Skype iPhone, which is a strange gadget for me. I'm getting used to it, so do pardon my ignorance if I sometimes don't know how to operate with all those new gadgets. Anyway, thank you very much for having me on your show.
Thank you so much, Tom. And I tell you what, I don't think ignorant has ever been within 100 miles of you. You're one of the most brilliant people I've ever spoken with. I absolutely loved seeing you at Montgomery Bell. You know, we saw, I don't know if you remember or not, but we also saw each other up at the Council of Conservative Citizens meeting in Florence, Alabama back in 2007. But since you have only just a few minutes, I won't reminisce too much. Tom, God bless you. Thank you. Thank you so much for coming on our show. You're such a courageous man. You don't see many people with your intellect, your giant intellect, with the courage and the guts that you have of a pit bull dog. A pit bull mixed with Wadsworth and Hemingway. That's how I would describe you. With that, Mr. Sunic, Tom, Dr. Tom, I could just call you all those things. Take off on what you were saying, because I'm very interested, and I'm sure the people would love to hear what you have to say, too, about why you were there in London. So take off, okay. My brother.
I flew in yesterday from Zagreb to Croatia over Vienna to London, And I was the guest of honor, if I can put it that way, of the Young Movement. Some of your folks may be already familiar with the Generation Identity, or rather GI, which is a shortened version of Generation Identity. And to be perfectly honest with you, I've been to many, many meetings, and I've held many, many lectures in France, in French, in German, in Australia with Kevin MacDonald and lots of other people. But this has been probably one of my best show, and I'll tell you why, in fact, best conference. Why? Because folks, mostly, I had about 60 people in my audience for the Generation Identity, mostly younger people, students, well-dressed. Keep that in mind. Please don't get me wrong. I'm not into Armani or Gucci dresses and all this fancy stuff that you see on the East and West Coast. But these were people well-dressed, well-taken care of, well-groomed, if I can put it that way, who are definitely on our side. And I got to tell you that, and this is a small digression, I also extended the greetings from the American Freedom Party to all of them. My speech was basically on, I was the first speaker, my speech was on the etymology, or rather, it was on comparative, I can say, analysis of the word sovereignty, identity, and patriotism. And it was quite academic, to put it bluntly. I was trying to actually distinguish those notions, sovereignty, identity, which are frequently used synonymously, but they are not quite the same. So my point was basically that identity, the term which is now very, very current in academia and also in mainstream media, in both in the States and in America, is very tricky. And we got to know exactly what do we mean by identitarians. This is another word, another coinage that came into existence just a couple of years back. And basically, my main point is that there are different identities, that all of us share multiple identities. Like, for instance, I identify myself as a writer, as an author, as a translator, as a professor, as a former diplomat. And these are all, and I guess this is I put a stress on it. These are all acquired identities. My main point was that we can change everything. I can change my jurisdiction. I can become an American Croat, the hyphenated American. That's all fine. I can relinquish on my language. I can relinquish on my culture. But there is one thing, verbatim, which I said, we cannot relinquish on our race. Our racial heritage. So the main issue, the main point, the main element, the main component, if I can put it somewhat academically, of our identity is race. And then I went into this long discussion why, in fact, the word race has been subject to semantic distortions, or to put it bluntly, to verbal distortions, why the word race has almost disappeared from the vocabulary, especially in Germany. In Germany, this is almost a forbidden word. Then I went into the analysis of the German word "folkisch," which is not the same, which has a somewhat different meaning than the English word "folks," "folkisch." Then I also explained some words and how those words got completely abolished or banished.
Dr. Tom, we have to take a quick break. God bless you. You're rocking and rolling, fella. We will get right back to you as soon as we get past this first break. We have to pay some bills, so hang on to your seat, everyone. And don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Kosher. Certified. Put the two words together to get co-certified, which is spelled with an S-E-H instead of just S-H. It's the right way to spell this, the German way, and it made it easier to trademark. Now, did I tell you that the letters S-C-H still make the shh sound, as in all those American food producers saying, shh, let's keep it really quiet that our product is kosher certified. Think about it. Nearly one century of kosher certification, and hardly anyone outside exclusive observers knows that most packaged food and kitchen products are literally certified by religious intermediaries. Well, because you, consumer, are indirectly paying for this, the Kosher-tified app is here to make kosher certification awareness an inclusive matter for people of all faiths and identities, and it even boasts a unique database of products not kosher certified. We call that NKC. Start memeing it. It's fun. NKC, not kosher certified. Now, to confuse our audience even more, we put a question mark at the end of our name, and that really cinched our trademark approval. It relates to the website where you can begin your new shopping behavior, thekosherquestion.com.
Well, people, we're right back, and Dr. Tom Sunick has absolutely made our day here at Blood River Radio. And without further ado and annoyance from me, we're going to go right back to Dr. Sunick. And Dr. Sunick, you were talking about the no-no term, the term that cannot be used in Germany, and the term is race. Go right back to that where you left off, Dr. Sunick, please.
Yes. Let me just sum it up for some of your listeners who probably didn't have a chance to tune in yet. In fact, I made a clear-cut distinction between acquired identities and inborn identities, and I, in fact, suggested to the identitarians who are present in the audience. Now, keep in mind the identitarian movement is very, very strong in France, in Austria, and Germany, and they're doing a good job, a very good job. You know, that they are not sporting this, weird insignia from the Second World War. They are not into this esoteric type of a stuff, which I don't want to talk about either. You know what I mean? And in fact, I said that our racial identity, or I use the word hereditary identity, cannot be dismissed. It's part of all. It's just part of myself. I mean, I'm not just a person who can learn the English language or the French language, the German language, or for that matter, changing my jurisdiction or shifting from one job to another and posturing with some new identity, whatever. I'm also determined by my biological identity. It sounds a little bit harsh, but my biological identity is the identity, in fact, my heredity that I've inherited from my ancestors. And I use that word ancestor quite often in my speech. Now, I guess it would be also fair and fine to mention other speakers. I must tell you, this was the first time I held a speech for the English, for the British identitarians. I'm pretty much familiar with the Austrian identitarians. I'm in touch with them. But this was the first time because this is a newly relaunched group, and they have a tremendous success, especially among students, you know. I'll tell you that. The second speaker was a lady. I'm sorry, I just retained her first name, Anna Marie. I know for sure she was a member of the UKIP party. She was to some extent close with Nigel Farage long, long time ago. I don't want to speculate what she's now doing, but she has a sort of a parted company with her, so she's now launching her own party. There were three other speakers, mostly younger folks. There was one prominent blogger, I think, It's just escaping me. He's been corresponding with Milo and other guys, and so basically he's very much on the same page with us. So to make the story short, it was a very successful, and believe it or not, I'm not talking from the top of my head, I really enjoyed the company. It was just about an hour ago that we split because we'd socialized a little bit, we had a dinner together, and I'm now in bed and I'm only getting all ready because tomorrow early morning I gotta grab the flight for first to Vienna and then from Vienna to Zagreb. Now, if you allow me, I would like to tell you something else, but just probably express some of my negative sentiments, not about the conference. The conference was like almost for me, this was a brush of fresh air. It was held at a nice hotel, so it was very well. It was all legal, it was all legit. But one thing that depresses me every time I travel to London, and I guess you don't need to take a wild guess what I mean. This town is literally changing its profile on the daily basis. I sometimes, and folks, I frankly don't want to exaggerate, I sometimes have the impression that I would probably feel more of a European as a European in Kinshasa or probably in Timbuktu than in London itself. I don't think, even at the customs over there, well, I probably spotted quite a few, two or three European faces, but this whole place is just swarming with non-Europeans. I'm not making some derogatory, I don't want to make some derogatory statements against those folk or insult them, far from it. But I also specified in my speech, folks, over and over again, multiculturalism doesn't work. Sooner or later, multiculturalism leads to disaster and to civil war. And then, of course, I drew the parallel also with the caravan, what they call them, with this massive storm or onslaught of immigrants crossing the American border and coming from Mexico to the United States of America. After that, I mentioned also that we cannot use race as a symbol of religion. These are two opposing factors. I mentioned, for instance, there's lots of those mestizos who are crossing the border now from Mexico to the United States of America, illegal. Of course, there are 20 million of them there. They are very pious Catholics, but they are not necessarily people of my biological stock. So we got to make sure that not those, you know, the word Muslims, it's a very generic word. So we got to be very careful how we use those words, be it the word sovereignty, be it the word Muslims, be it the word migrants and so on. And of course, I ended up my discussion with the fact that, look, folks, we got to be aware who we are, and there is no reason to wallow in this pathological altruism and this telescopic philanthropy. I quoted Charles Dickens from his book, you know, Bleak House. So he used that term, Charles Dickens, you know, telescopic philanthropy, where he describes what we call modern antifas nowadays, who talk about whatever peace on earth, who talk about Bangladesh and how we need to help people in Africa and Asia and elsewhere. But if you ask, they wouldn't probably be able to figure them out on the map. So, again, I don't want to now brag, whatever. I'm sure you will hear about how my speech went. It will be posted on Facebook and all the speeches of other guys. And it just made my day. It boosted my morale a little bit because I truly, every time I'm in London or for that matter in Frankfurt, guys, it's almost like in Atlanta or in L.A., I get the replica of it, and in some sense, it's even. You just feel strange. You feel strange in your own country, or a stranger. You are literally a stranger. You're a foreigner in your own country, and just walking. You know. I don't know if you've ever been to London. London has a beautiful architecture. These are not high buildings like in New York, or to some extent like in Atlanta. These are all Victorian houses, but then right next to those houses, you see people milling around who simply don't fit in there, you know, where just it's like an anachronism in the first place. Anyway, my speech was very well received, and I will have it published most likely shortly in the Occidental Correct. Observer, and I will link it also to my speech, which I guess should be posted shortly in a week or so.
Well, Dr. Tom, I was going to ask you if it was going to be in the Barnes Review or the Occidental Observer. Also, I have a few questions now, and I'm going to ask you a couple of questions. Now, what would you say the average age was of the conference attendees where you gave your speech? You said they were well-dressed.
Yeah, well dressed, but they were nice. They were decent folks, you know. Yes. Well, I got to tell you, I'm 66 now. I guess I probably was the oldest guy. Now, well, there were a couple of folks probably of my age, but most of the folks, I think the average age was about 25 to 30.
Great.
25, 30.
Great. That's very encouraging.
From Canada. Very encouraging. Believe it or not, I'm old, and I'm getting goose flesh. It really just made my day, and I'm very happy about this, and I hope they will have some success, and I made some good contacts with them, and it's very important to have those conferences live. I certainly appreciate talking to you, Eddie, on Skype and on phone, which is fine.
Yes, sir.
But you got to look at people in the eyes, you know, you have to have the eyeball contact. It's very important for us. And I'm really,
we did in Montgomery Bell.
Yeah.
When you and I looked eyeball to eyeball with Montgomery Bell, absolutely. I was immediately impressed with you. Well, let me ask you another question.
Sure.
Oh, I'm sorry. What would you say the average age of the non-European, non-white influx of aliens, immigrants, invaders, whatever, yes, in London?
Well, again, mostly younger folks. I said 20s, 30s, and I see lots of women. And look, okay. I don't want to crack jokes now and make some derogatory statements, but, you know, quite frankly, I'm used to that.
Dr. Tom, we've come to the end of this. Thank you so much for coming on our show. I really appreciate that, and I hope you will come on again soon. God bless you. I hope you enjoy the rest of your stay there. Have a safe trip back home.
Thank you very much. Help folks that I'm at their disposal, and I hope I'll relocate back to the States, guys, and help you all. Thank you very much. God bless you, folks.
Thank you. God bless you. People, will be right back, and we're having another guest come in. His code name is Barrister. When he comes on our show,
I'm sure. Constitution is our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
It's a good weekend for President Trump as the Supreme Court gave the administration a victory on Friday, saying that it can use Pentagon funding to build a southern border wall. However, an American Civil Liberties Union attorney, Jonathan Hafit, says it's not over because they're going back to court to fight it.
The border wall is clearly illegal. It was not approved by Congress.
President Trump tweeting the ruling is a victory for border security. At least 8 people are dead and the numbers expected to rise, 60 others hurt, after a pair of strong earthquakes strike the northern Philippines, destroying homes and buildings on islands that are popular with tourists. Officials there say the 5.4 magnitude quake was followed by an even stronger aftershock in the Luzon Strait. This is USA Radio News.
I used to wonder when I saw people going into nice hotels, really nice hotels, taking a pillow with them. That was before I got a MyPillow, because I know it doesn't matter where I'm going. Whether I'm going to a 1-star, 3-star, 5-star hotel, MyPillow goes with me, whether it's just overnight or whether it's on vacation. And here's the great deal about MyPillow right now. The lowest price ever offered on radio or TV. 2 MyPillow premium pillows for $69.98. That's only $34.99 per pillow. The lowest price ever offered on radio or TV. And it's still the same pillow. Great pillow. 60-day money-back guarantee. 10-year warranty. And call them. 1-800-951-8175, or go to MyPillow.com, use promo code USA, click on the 2-pack special, and get the best deal you've ever gotten on a good night's sleep when you get a MyPillow.
A tragic story out of New York City where a dad's been charged with negligent homicide after his twin infants were found dead in the back seat of his car. Police say 37-year-old Juan Rodriguez tells investigators he forgot the 11-month-old boy and girl were strapped in their car seats when he went to work to the Bronx on Friday. It wasn't until he returned to his car hours later and began driving that he noticed the kids were in the back seat. He called 911. Temps were in the low 80s in New York City on Friday. It's believed in the car far, they would have risen to over 100. Some Minnesota Girl Scouts recovering after being struck by lightning while camping on an island in a lake near Canada. 9 scouts injured, a counselor calling for help, and the girls were rescued by a boat just before midnight. The St. Louis County Rescue Squad says all 9 patients were awake and alert, though 2 of the girls are being treated for serious injuries. Get to know us online. We're at usaradio.com. And this is USA Radio News.
Being this is a 44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off, you've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, Bunk?
Well, people, we were right back at the bottom of the hour here. We just let Dr. Tom Sunit go, and he is an incredible intellectual. We're bringing on another intellectual here to fill in for my many gaps in my personality, because these intellectuals, you know how they are. They can speak a lot better than I can about these intellectual things. So, the codename guest for tonight, y'all are all going to be surprised. The codename is Barrister. Mr. Barrister, speak up. We'll see how many people recognize your voice before we give you your true identity.
Well, hey, it's me. I'm here.
Welcome on the show.
Well,
it is so great to
hear.
Yes, sir. It's so good to have you in. I thought that would be a great trick. You know, I told Jacob today about it. I let the cat out of the bag, but there were only about 2 people in the whole world knew you were going to be on our guest tonight. I was really looking forward to it because, I tell you what, I told people, you know, when you need somebody who can pull the rabbit out of the hat in the radio game, I can't think of anybody better than Keith Alexander. I mean, I've never known you to be with a loss of words, not being able to break down. James said that you could probably break down a story better than anybody he knows of, and I'll have to second that. But were you able to listen to Dr. Sunik on the first segment there?
No, I'm afraid I wasn't. I tuned into 1600 here in Memphis, and it was some black gospel thing, and I didn't. I'm not in front of a computer, so I couldn't. You'll have to fill me in. Tell me what.
Well, that wasn't the black gospel. That was Lee. That was Lee Cochran. You know, he does karaoke. I think I heard Sam. You know, Sam and Lee are the big karaoke guys of Blood River Radio. You know, we can't afford the big time bands yet, but we're getting there. You know, I mean, I guess we should downgrade these guys. But basically, Keith. By the way, welcome again, Keith. I'm so glad you're here tonight. Basically, Tom Sunik. Yes, sir. You know, Tom Sunik, Dr. Tom Sunik, I know you know him. Everybody in our group, in our movement, our family knows Tom Sunik. He was at Montgomery Bell about 3 weeks ago. He was on our radio show, and he's an incredible intellect, you know. I don't have to tell people that Tom and I are kind of like different brain wavelengths. But he was speaking about, he went to this conference here over in London, and he was encouraging. He was talking about the replacement of peoples in Europe, and not. He was going to speak about in non-European immigration, and this new thing called this identitarian movement. He said, and he was trying to explain all the, you know, the intellectual nuances of the difference between identity and nationalism and things like that. But to get down to the nuts and bolts, he didn't have time to get to that you and I can talk about tonight. And I talked to you, I think, yesterday. He was going to get to talk. He didn't get to this one of his points of replace, though, how the people in Europe are being replaced by this out of control migration. And I'm going to make this one statement, Keith. I'm going to go to you. Now, I'm sure I know this is probably a rhetorical statement, but it's got to be. It's intentional. It's it's got to be. You know, it's either what we talk about. It's either ethnic cleansing or hardcore euthanasia or genocide like it's going on in South Africa. Well, Keith, go ahead and take away, man. You know how to do this better than I do. We talked about this yesterday. So fire away. Tell us what you think about this European.
I think you're absolutely right. There are 2 acronyms I'd like to throw at you. AWC, Anti-White Coalition. That's our enemies. That's Antifa. That's the Democratic Party. That's the mainstream media. You know, all of these groups are aligned against what, okay? The difference between us, your show, our show, and the mainstream, and typical so-called conservatives is that they nibble around the edges of the issue. The issues are race and Jewish power and influence. Race was chosen by the cultural Marxists as the fault line in human society. They concluded that Marx and Engels were wrong. It was not economic status as they thought it was. It wasn't even religion. It's race. And they're after the white race. That's why they're not just after Europeans. They're after Americans. They're after everybody that's in the Anglosphere. That would be Australia, Canada, New Zealand, Rhodesia, all the whites there, and the whites in South Africa. They are, and, you know, Scotland, Wales, Ireland, they want to eliminate white people from the face of the earth. As startling as that sounds, that is their game plan. And they have aligned all non-white people, enlisted them into this project. And that's what's going on. It's going on worldwide. You know, people in America act like Europe is a canary in the coal mine. They're, you know, they're really looking into dire circumstances, and we need to protect ourselves before we get as bad as they are. I hate to tell people in America, but we're in worse shape than they are. In places like France and England, Germany, they're still about 80% white. In America, we're just 60% white, so we're twice as far along the path as they are. And it's time for people to understand that this is anti-white. They've got three ways to do it: multiculturalism, third world immigration, and intermixture. In other words, miscegenation, having whites mating with non-whites. Now, that's the big threat right now. That's the tender trap, so to speak. That's what they're doing to us. They have people, for example, in, we are the holders of the most recessive genes in the human gene pool. If a white person mates with an Asian, with a Middle Easterner, with a black, with a Hispanic, the offspring is going to look more like the non-white part of that union than the white person. So consequently, our genes have to be preserved, and the only way to preserve them is for white people to mate exclusively with white people and to have a lot of children. You know, we have everything that the left has done since Brown versus Board of Education, the civil rights movement, the homosexual rights movement, feminism, global, you know, the no-fault divorce initiative. You could go on and on. You know, all of them have one common thread that runs through them. They all reduce white birth rates. For example, Brown versus Board of Education, how did that, pray tell, reduce white birth rates? Well, it reduced white birth rates because when they integrated the schools, conscientious white parents, rather than throwing their children into the black hole of Calcutta that the public schools was becoming, started limiting, sending their children to private schools and limiting the number of children they had to the number they could afford to send to private school, which was always going to be less than they would have had if school was free, like it had been before Brown versus Board of Education. So this is what, you know, you and I saw this growing up in Memphis. We saw that when busing came, that was when, you know, that's when it really hit the fan. And it was that bad, okay? That's what, and that reduced white birth rates, no-fault divorce initiative. You know, it made marriage that much more, what would you call it, tenuous and, you know, hazardous, particularly to white males. You know, a woman could marry you, you could have lots of children, she could divorce you on a whim, and basically you would find out that Mr. Lincoln hadn't freed all the slaves. You were the new slave under new no-fault divorce laws, okay?
That's so true.
Everything that they're doing is trying to reduce white birth rates, and they will eventually, when they get us to the right numbers, if the real canary in the coal mine is South Africa and Rhodesia, when the gangs of non-whites break into your home with machetes drawn and slaughter you and your family. That's what the final stage will be. And it's time for people to wake up, smell the coffee, and realize that these people have us in their crosshairs, and they're making amazing progress. And they will do everything that they want more and more non-whites pumped into white nations. They don't want them in Asian nations, even though they're prosperous in first world nations like Japan and Korea. They don't want them in prosperous Arab nations like Dubai and Kuwait. You know, if it was just prosperity that they were trying to share, why aren't those people suffering the same type of third world immigration crisis that we are here? No, it's directed at white people purely and simply.
I tell you what, Keith, you're on fire tonight, brother, which brings me to a question. You mentioned some of these other countries, China being in particular China. Well, as soon as we come back, people, I'm going to go with the great Keith Alexander with a question, and I know he'll be able to answer it. So we'll be right back in just a few minutes. Hold on to your seats, people.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I ask you, what is the KQ? You know, the kosher question. Most Americans will spend their entire lifetime purchasing food from the supermarkets while having no idea that almost every packaged food product on the grocery shelves is certified kosher. Indeed, the kosher question encompasses not only food and religion, but also affects our economics, politics, and our identity. In an effort to promote awareness to the kosher question, developers have published an app for your smartphone that features a database of food products that have not been kosher certified. The Kosher-tified app has prominent advertisement on TPC's homepage, or you can check out its website at thekosherquestion.com. With the cesspool of politics getting even deeper these days, why not leave the swamp and start eating in favor of your own interests? Check out thekosherquestion.com today and download the app.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is, again, the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Hey, I'm just an old chunk of coal.
Well, folks, the old chunk of coal is back. We have a chunk of coal that came with Diamond on by the name of Keith Alexander, and he's absolutely doing exactly what he does. If he's just killing it, knocking it out of the park. But Keith, I'm going to make just a few brief comments, and I'm going to throw the ball back in your court. You know, Sam Dixon once said, Tom Sunick made the comment before he left earlier that we have all these different, you know, all kinds of civil rights organizations, so to speak. I may be paraphrasing. They worry about, you know, the non-whites. Sam Dixon once said that no matter where the sun is at any given part of the day, that there's some type of organization there that's gnashing their teeth and wringing their hands, worrying about the black race and the colors of the world. That's true here. And he talked about, there was another, a word that you can't use. He said it's almost illegal to use the word race even in Germany nowadays. It's just, it's considered a no-no. But, you know, and I'm going to make this comment, though, keep will know about this. He mentioned race is different from religion. And that's true. Because with the Jewish, people, you know, you can immigrate to Israel and be the a blooming atheist. You can be a homosexual. You can be bisexual, whatever. The only requirement they have for you to immigrate to Israel is that you be Jewish. And they say, I'm not, this isn't Eddie Miller or Keith Alexander. This is what the Jews say. The Jews say that they are an extinct race, a specific race. They're identifiable by their DNA. They say that. And also, okay, I'm going to make this comment right here. You know, if we notice, Israel is working hand in hand with Red China all the time when we're supposed to be in this trade war. The great Anthony Sutton once said, he talked about how the West built up the Soviet Union of World War II. He talked about how without the West, there would be no great Red Dragon. There'd be no China. They're huge now. And like I say, the West built them up. Keith, my question to you, and you can take in my other comments into the mix, but my question to you, Keith, I've always wondered why the Jews, the Israel, the Jewish Zionists have got buddy-buddy with every race in the world except us. Is it because have they hitched their wagon, the Jews in Israel, to China? By the way, in Israel, they kill Palestinians all day long. Nobody's batting an eye. They're bulldozing their houses there. This past week, and that's another rabbit trail. But have the international Zionist Jews, have they got buddy-buddy with China because that's just another race, another non-white race that they can help them exterminate us, Keith?
Yeah, I think you've hit the nail on the head. That's it, because it's the coalition, the AWC, the anti-white coalition. Anybody that's not white can join, and they want to enlist them to do it. Jews are experts at what I call triangulation. They pretend, every liberal movement, for example, pretends to be benevolent when it's actually malevolent. They come to white Gentiles, which is what we are, and that's the target. It's not white Jews, it's white Gentiles, okay? And they say, we don't hate you white Gentiles, it's just that we love these black people, or we love these Chinese people, or we love these homosexuals, or we love these women, or whatnot. They peel as many layers off the onion as possible, and they say, and you have mistreated these people, and we're trying to stand up for justice to, you know, prevent you from doing your depredations against them. But of course, it's just a obfuscation. I remember when Spiro Agnew, he next to Donald Trump, he probably pushed the buttons of the left more than anyone else that I can remember in my lifetime. And he had a bumper sticker that said, eschew obfuscation, okay? And he was making fun of pointy-headed intellectuals and whatnot in their language, but that was absolutely correct, because we have to give up obfuscation, which is what the left uses and what the Jewish masterminds that are basically the prime movers in the anti-white coalition are doing is trying to hide what they're doing. And mainstream conservatives are frightened to death to mention white or to advocate anything on behalf of white people. They will say, you know, it's a matter of politics, conservative versus liberal. Well, why are conservatives hated? Because conservatism is considered to be the white man's political persuasion. Also, they're Republican Party. Why are they against the Republican Party and for the Democratic Party? Well, because the Republican Party is identified by them as a party of white Gentiles, and the Democratic Party is identified as the party of non-whites. why are they anti-Christian and pro every other religion? Because Christianity, in the eyes of most of the world, is the white man's religion. It's, you know, remember James Carville, who was a political
from
Clinton, and he said, it's the economy, stupid. Well, what we need to say to the rest of the white race throughout the world is, it's race, stupid. This is why they're coming after you. They're not coming after you because of your religion. They're not coming against you because of your political persuasion. They're not coming after you because you are a proponent or a supporter of a particular political party. They're coming against you because you are white. And that's it. The long and the short of it. And they will continue to come after us until, and that's why we need identity politics. If we don't have identity politics, and that's what, you know, all these neoconservatives and cuckservatives and mainstreamers, oh, they say, that'd be terrible. We're too good for that. Well, if we don't adopt identity politics for ourselves as white Gentiles, we're bringing a knife to the gunfight, okay?
And amen,
that
amen.
It works out well.
You're so right, Keith. You know, as you well know, Keith knows me. He's been knowing me for years and years. I've been knowing him for years and years. Keith knows I'm a big runner. I run with a group of people, and there's a lot of military people, a Navy brass, a Army brass, and one of these Navy brass told me, until I came to Memphis, I never was aware of race. I just never thought of race. I don't ever get my mind on that. I said, well, let me tell you what, Hoss, they do. You know, the other colors here in our country, the blacks, the browns, what have you, the Jews, they have you square in your sights because of your race. And Keith, something else, you know, we were talking about how this anti-white coalition you were talking about, you know, going back to Anthony Sutton, he wrote this series of volumes and volumes of one of them he entitled, you've probably read some of it, called The Best Enemy That Money Can Buy. You know, how I referenced earlier how the powers that be, you know, Goldman Sachs propped up, and any of the other bankers propped up the communists in the Soviet Union in World War II, how they built Red China, how they sold out General Mao Zedong how they sold out General Chiang Kai-shek for Mao Zedong. These people will work, and it's in their own literature, Keith, and you've nailed it when you said anti-white coalition. They have admitted themselves. They work with Nazis. They work with communists. They work with Christians. Look at the Russell Moore and in the Southern Baptist Coalition, and what I call the Southern Baptist Brotherhood now. But there's no one they won't work with. And you've nailed it, Keith. And I'm going to ask you one question in just a minute. They hate us. These people are our enemy. They hate us. You have no idea the depth, the venom of their hatred. They hate you. They hate your parents. They hate your children. They hate your grandparents. They despise you. And like we said on this show before, and to quote Dr. Hill with the League of the South, where I first heard it, first they came for the linen, and then they came from the stone. You can go 15 miles where me and Keith, well, closer to Keith's house, where they destroyed the great General Nathan Bedford Forrest grave site. It was a grave site, a national marker. They destroyed Confederate Park downtown with former president of the Confederacy, Jefferson Davis. But now they're coming after the flesh. And Keith referenced South Africa. That's where, and Keith, you're absolutely right, that's where it's all going. Once we get below a critical threshold and our population gets so low, we're nearing the point now, correct me if I'm wrong, where we have no political solution, Keith. So, Keith, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Oh, okay. So how far along are we, Keith? Can we wake up any of these airheads, these people from the University of Memphis, from Rhodes College, from, you know, pinhead intellectuals like you referenced? How do we go about waking them up? Is it all lost? What do we do?
Well, I tell you what's happening with the squad, you know, these four non-white freshman congresswomen in the Democratic Party that have become such a lightning rod, they're doing it for us. They're coming right out of the closet with their anti-whiteness. You know, they used to say things like diversity is our greatest strength. Now they're right out there with the browning of America and obviously the browning of Europe, which means the elimination of white people, the more unwhite or non-white people they get in there, the more brown things are. And think about this. Think about the last 3,000 years of human history, or even the last 700 years. What would the world be like today if it were not for the white race? All the technological progress, all the medical progress, all the progress in arts and stuff like this have come because and through the white race.
Keith, I hate to say it, but we've come to an end. I had one more question to ask you, but doggone it, we've run out of time. Keith, you can't be a stranger. You got to come on anytime we have these intellectuals and help me straighten out this intellectual stuff when we have like the great Dr. Tom Sunico. Keith, I'll be calling you very soon, my brother. Thank you so much for coming on.
Best of luck, Keith.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. God bless you, Keith. People, that was Keith Alexander, a fellow I've been friends with more years than I can count, I guess, and you see what he did. I don't have to brag on him anymore. He's really great at breaking down things that are kind of intellectual, you might say. Well, anyway, we'll be right back, people. Hang on to your hats. Going to the second hour.